This past week, I left on Thursday and went down to South Arkansas to preach the funeral of a longtime family friend. It was good to go back. I hadn't been there in 10 years, actually. Mom was buried 10 years ago today. And so I've not been back down. I had an opportunity to go and by the cemetery and brought back a lot of old memories, seeing friends and visiting. But while I was there on Thursday night was when that storm moved through. And it knocked out all the power in Crossett. The whole city was gone, was just dead. And I was in a motel room and it was dark, real dark. I don't like just real dark. And I had to be a flashlight out in the truck, so I went out and got the flashlight, and the batteries were dead. So I was in the dark, the real dark. I mean, that was a lonesome thing. You just take for granted being able to go over and flip a switch and the lights come on. When they don't, it just changes everything for you. I mean, you look out the window and the whole city was dead. No light. Occasional car, you'd see the car lights, but that was it. You couldn't read, you couldn't watch TV. So I just went to bed about 8 o'clock, which is very unusual for me. But certainly made an impact on me because I'd already chosen the lesson for this week was from 1 John about Jesus and God being our light. And it made me realize what a motel room is like without light, or air conditioning, by the way, and what a life is like without the light of God in it. A lonesome thing, a desolate thing. And that makes us realize how important having God as the light in our life truly is. John, 1 John chapter 1, well, 1 John really, the whole book. Beginning especially in chapter 1, John gives us an encouragement about living the Christian life. The people that John was writing to were primarily Christians. They had believed, they had repented of their sins, they had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, they had been baptized for the remission of their sins. But they were finding out that that wasn't the end, but the beginning of living the Christian life. And that it wasn't easy. There wasn't any magical bubble that came down and surrounded them whenever they obeyed the gospel and prevented any temptations or any problems or any heartaches or any burdens from ever getting to them. They found themselves still in the same world with the same problems, with the same burdens, with the same heartaches, with the same trials, with the same temptations. And it was difficult. And they were wondering, can I do this? Can I live the Christian life? And many of them were saying, well, I can't be perfect. In fact, Satan certainly doesn't give up tempting us whenever we become a Christian. In fact, I think that he even intensifies the temptation because he wants to get us back. Back into his world, back into a lost state. And so because it was so difficult, and because their idea was, I can't be perfect. And we sometimes have that same concept. That as Christians, we have to be perfect. Well, let me tell you a little something here this morning. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. So, John is writing these things to you and me and to these people today when he was specifically writing to say, God makes a way for you. And what he does is he calls it walking in the light. Walking in the light. And he says that God is light. Not God is a light. Not even God is the light. He said God is light. And Jesus is the light of the world. Because he comes from the Father and is God. So he is light. And he says now, that whenever we walk in the light, or we walk in God, we walk in Christ, remembering Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. When we are keeping his commandments, and when we are walking in the light and striving to be Christians, then we're going to be absolutely perfect. No. But, here we go. We have some great and marvelous blessings from God to help us in our salvation and in our relationship to Him. I want to talk about three of those things this morning. Three things that John tells us that we have as Christians, as an asset, as a strength, as a power, when we are Christians, walking in the light, trying our best to be Christians. Now, he adds, before he ever begins this, now if you say that you have the light, but you walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. So we cannot just simply give up and let Satan have his reign in our life and expect to have these blessings and these privileges that John is going on to tell us here. But he said, if, and that's an if there, because it puts a lot on us. If you walk in the light, number one, you will have a fellowship with God, a relationship with God. That word fellowship here is the word koinonia, and what it means is sharing. It was talked about the first century Christians in Acts chapter 2. That they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. They had a sharing. It's the same word that we find here in 1 John. When it says we have fellowship with God, we have a sharing with God. What a tremendous, tremendous power and blessing that is to know that we have a fellowship, a relationship with God Almighty. And the reason why we need this is because, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Sin is pictured all throughout the Bible as darkness. God is pictured all throughout the Bible as light. Sin is darkness. God is light. And so the sage of old says that these sins separated between us and our God. It broke that sharing. It broke that fellowship whenever we find ourselves in sin. And then what we notice in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in 1 John 1 and verse 9 it says here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But because this sin separated us, God didn't give up on us. He wanted us back. He loved us. In fact, we read, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, speaking of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Sin separated us from God, but God calls us back through Jesus and gives us a hope. Now, let's go and look at John. He said, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 tells us, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, that He might reconcile. That word reconcile means to bring us back. That He might bring us back to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The cross is our avenue back to God. And so, as Paul wrote in of God in Colossians 1 verse 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood and even the forgiveness of our sins. Because God sent His Son, and because Jesus was willing to die, we are not separated from God anymore. And when we walk in the light, we have that fellowship, that relationship, that sharing with God once again. But then John goes on to give us yet another great privilege that we have by walking in the light. And he said it is that the blood of Jesus Christ, watch this now, watch it close, cleanses us from our sins. What does that mean? Well, some people have the idea that Jesus was crucified because He was rejected by the Jews. Jesus was crucified because we rejected God's commandments. But in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, we read that He by the grace of God should taste death for everyone. Jesus died for us all. Listen to this, Hebrews 10, 19 and 22. Having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ, let us draw nigh with a heart full of assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled or separated from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Because of the death of Jesus, we have an opportunity, people, to come into the presence of God. But here's the great part of this whole passage, is that Jesus' blood didn't just cleanse us from our sins, past tense, but notice here what he says. If we walk in the light, as he is light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of our sins. Now, you English teachers will understand when I say that the word walk and the word cleanses here are present active subjunctive verbs. Now, what that means is they are continually in work. As long as we walk, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing. What does that mean? What does that mean that it keeps on cleansing me from my sins? Well, you know, some Christians walk in fear, thinking that some hidden sin or some impulsive sin is going to cause them to lose their soul. Some people think about God's love and His salvation kind of like a water faucet. When I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, He turns it on. And then if I sin, He turns it back off. And so I'm constantly in and out of the relationship with God. That is not true. That's what these people were thinking. I can't walk perfect, and so I don't ever know when God's love is turned off. He don't turn it off. If you're walking in the light, Because why? The blood of Christ cleanses. Cleanses. It keeps on cleansing me of my sins. So, now, preacher, let me get this right. Are you telling me that even if I sin, that I'm still in a right relationship with God? And the answer is absolutely yes. Now, if you walk in darkness and think you're going to get this cleansing, he says you lied to yourself. I'm talking about striving to do what God says do. Striving to live the Christian life. Are you going to come up short some? Yes, you are. So God quits loving you? No, He doesn't. No, sir. Because the blood of His Son is cleansing us of our sins. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Romans 4 and verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. That word impute means write it down. Blessed is the man whom God won't even write his sin down. Listen to it though. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. When you are in Christ, when you obey the gospel and have been baptized for the remission of your sins, and have this relationship, this fellowship, this koinonia with God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, wipes your slate clean. So that's why you need to keep walking. Now, notice in chapter 2 of 1 John, John says to these people and to us, now little children, I didn't write these things to you so you can keep on sinning. John said, I didn't write this to you so you could say, oh man, that's great, because I really had this big party planned for this weekend. So I don't have to worry about it at all. I can just go out and sin as much as I want to, and the blood cleans me up. That's not walking in the light, and you know it. John said, I didn't write these things to you so that you would go sin. I wrote them to you to give you courage so you wouldn't sin. It just gives you all that more incentive not to sin. But then he says, but I know you are. And when you do, here's that third thing. Fellowship with God, blood cleanses us. The third thing that he tells us here is that when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ himself. That word advocate there, it means like a lawyer. It means like somebody that pleads a case. The definition from Thayer is one who pleads another's case before a judge, a counsel for defense. And John is saying, we have a counsel for defense. We've got a lawyer that pleads our case to God. And you know who it is? Jesus! We got the best. We got the best defense lawyer that you could possibly have. You got Jesus himself. You know how these things go. You've seen Law and Order and Matlock on TV. You know how it goes. The bailiff comes in and says, all rise. The honorable God the Father is the presiding judge. The judge says, be seated. Do we have a prosecuting attorney? And Satan steps up and says, yes, Your Honor, I'm Satan, I am the prosecuting attorney. And he would say, do we have a counsel for defense? And Jesus would stand up and say, yes, Your Honor, I'm Jesus, the Son of God. I serve as the defense attorney. The devil would speak up and say, I object. I think that this trial should be dismissed on the case of bias because he's your son. God would say, objection overruled, but is noted. Now, prosecuting attorney, do you have a case to present? Yes, I do, Lord. Your Honor, this one is guilty of sin, and you know it. You know it. I can read your book, and it says right here, for the wages of sin is death, and I am here to condemn him as a sinner. And I demand that he pay the debt. And I'm here to punish him. I'm here to punish him. That's my case. The judge would say, is there one for the defense? And Jesus would stand up and say, Your Honor, my client is guilty. He has sinned, and he cannot pay the debt. but I want to pay the debt for him. I want to die in his stead. I want to pay the debt that he owes. And God says, you want to pay his debt? You'll die for him? And Jesus says, yes. I'll pay his debt. Now, you know who was on trial? Me. You. We were the defendant. Lost, separated from God, couldn't pay our debt. But Jesus paid our debt. And then he continues to cleanse us of our sins and continues to plead our case. We read in Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 25, that he's able to save the uttermost of them that draw near to God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank God for his wonderful Son and his willingness to save us and plead for us. So don't give up when Satan tries to make you think God doesn't love you. To make you think that you're not worth anything and you're not worthy because you can't walk every step exactly right. Because God loves you, saves you, cleanses you, prepares a home for you. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of our sins. And we have an advocate, a lawyer, Jesus Christ himself, who pleads our case. Now, leave this building today, my Christian brother, and walk with a little bit more courage. Walk with a little bit more determination. Walk with a little bit more power in your step because you absolutely know you will.